Blog Talk Radio.
Terminal fans, welcome to the show on another Sunday. Happy Easter to those that celebrate that. Happy Trans Identity Day to those as well. And also, we want to thank our fans coming out last night to Combat Pro Presents Theatrical Wrestling Capacity Crowd in Linwood, and then across the state in Spokane, capacity crowd of over 800. So thanks to all the fans for supporting Washington State Independent Pro Wrestling. Some show notes if you are looking for some wrestling today. Warrior Pro Wrestling happening in Danville, Indiana right about now. And also Wrestle Club in Nampa, Idaho, night two of a two-night show. So if you are near either of those places, get out there, support your local independent professional wrestling. Also, we would like to announce our 2024 Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame inductee. He is WWE referee Jason Ayers. He has been with us since the beginning. He did multiple interviews with us prior to signing with WWE. Always helpful, has gotten us lots of guests over the years, has done a tremendous amount for this industry, so we are proud to have him in the Hall of Fame. But without any further ado, our guest today is joining us, Aaron Phillips. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for having me on a beautiful Sunday in March, the last day of March and Easter. So I appreciate the invite, fellas.
You're welcome.
It's our pleasure, and this being your first time here, I'm going to start you out today with the traditional first-timer question. How did you get into the crazy business of professional wrestling?
Well, my fandom started back in the early 70s, the older of three siblings, and on a Saturday night, I'm originally from New Jersey, I would babysit my sister and brother when my parents go out, and at midnight, East Coast time, Saturday night, WWWF would air at midnight on the local WWOR channel, Channel 9, and that's when I started watching. And my first live event was the night that Bob Backlund beat superstar Billy Graham in Madison Square Garden. My dad took me to that card, and I've just fallen in love with it since. For me, getting started as a commentator, believe it or not, I was hosting a show at a local radio station, and there was a local independent wrestling promotion here that ran commercials on the station. And I reached out to the folks from that independent wrestling promotion, Big Valley Wrestling, chatted with them, told them what I do, my background. I'm a Hall of Fame radio personality and broadcaster. And from that point forward, it's just been great. I do commentary for Big Valley Wrestling, Versus Pro Wrestling here in Vegas, and Ultimate Women of Wrestling, one of the newer lady promotions across the country. And then I do a podcast with two other guys every week that between the three of us, we have 100 years of wrestling fandom. So it's a little hustle and a little experience together got me into the industry.
Now, doing commentary is a particular skill set. It's different than being a DJ in a lot of ways. How much of a transition was it for you going from working in radio to doing commentary for a sport?
Great question. I actually got my start in radio 18 and a half years ago by doing color commentating for Junior Golden Gloves boxing. There was a local tournament. It was my first opportunity, and that's where I really got to learn the difference between a play-by-play announcer and a color commentator. You know, for the listeners out there that don't realize it, play-by-play commentator is the guy that just is describing what we are already seeing. The color commentator is the person who talks about how things happen and why they happened and providing that detail. And it was a nice blend because it's sort of like when I interview guests on the radio. You know, you have to have that give and take and timing and get the important things out of your guests. So it took a little bit for the first couple of commentary opportunities to get that groove, especially when you're working with, you know, two-man booth or three-man booth. I've even done it on my own. It took a little bit, but now, you know, I can do commentary on watching paint dry. You know, it just becomes second nature.
In the last few years, a lot of independent promotions have experimented with doing commentary live over the PA system. In
mm-hmm.
some cases, it's helpful if you have a newer crowd that's not
mm-hmm.
necessarily seen wrestling before, sort of learn and understand. In some situations, it's helpful if you're doing a DVD or a live stream, and that way you don't have to do anything post-production-wise. Oftentimes,
mm-hmm.
it becomes problematic because not a great deal of people that actually do the commentary understand how to properly do it. Do you run
mm-hmm.
into many instances of over-the-PA commentary?
I have done over-the-PA commentary a handful of times. Like, if there's a fundraiser event that one of the organizations is doing and it's not a traditional card, they will do the PA. And you have to kind of tone it back a little bit from, as you said, doing traditional commentary over the airwaves. Because, number one, you don't want to talk over the action. People want to see what's going on in the ring. You have to become kind of like that band at a wedding or a celebration when you're eating dinner. You don't want to be too loud so that people can't hear themselves talk to each other and enjoy the festivities. Doing PA announcing, I even did flat track women's roller derby, and that was all PA stuff. And you have to know the timing, and you have to know that the folks there really to see the people performing and not necessarily to hear me as a commentator overpower what's happening, what they're visually seeing as a PA. You're there to fill in some holes. You're there to talk about some crazy action. But I find that you have to scale back to do the PA announcing versus if you're doing it on the stream or in a traditional commentary setting. So it's like commentary light, basically, you know, like a light beer. It's going to be a little less than the normal.
A lot of independent wrestlers don't necessarily consider the commentary team when they are going to do either an interview or a match as far as giving what their vision is in order to help the commentary team express that vision to the viewers.
Mm-hmm.
On average, how many of the independent wrestlers that you work with directly come to you and give you a rundown of what it is they're trying to express?
Well, truth be told, I understand what the wrestlers are going through prior to a show. And by that, I mean getting themselves ready mentally, physically, going over the match card, et cetera. And I actually seek them out. And when you do commentary for the same promotion over the course of time, you get to know the wrestlers and you get to know the stories and you get to know what they're trying to bring. However, I do get into a conversation with some of the wrestlers before a match starts because maybe there's a shift in their gimmick. Maybe they're going from face to heel or they're becoming a champion for the first time in a particular message. And that is my job to find that out. Now, again, I've been doing it for a while with some of these promotions, and I've gotten to know them enough so that they are also willing to come to me and say, hey, Aaron, this is what I'm going to do tonight. If you can, you know, help sell the injury or talk about, you know, how fantastic this or that was. And so they do sometimes give me a heads up. But other than that, I'm usually at an event 2 to 3 hours early as the guys and gals aren't showing up, and I chat with them for a few minutes, and I don't overburden them with too many questions or taking up too much of their time because they have to get ready for their match, mentally, physically, et cetera. So it's doing your homework almost like a crash course right before the show starts. And I'm friends with many of them online, and sometimes I'll get into a conversation with them through Facebook or whatever and say, hey, what's going on tonight or tomorrow night that, you know, you can share with me. I've also done ring announcing, so getting all that information as well kind of falls into that same category. I'm usually talking to the performers to get their information as to how they want to be interviewed announced ahead of time as best as I can, so it helps me prepare and I don't go run around crazy minutes before a card starts.
As we all know, wrestling can be chaotic at times, and things do not always go as planned. Sometimes wrestlers not being able to show up to a match. Sometimes mm-hmm. there are injuries that take place. Sometimes something happens to the ring, and mm-hmm. entire direction will shift because of these things. Mm-hmm. How many times in your normal experiences as a commentator have you had to completely shift away from what you went into the show expecting due to something catastrophically changing the events?
I've experienced it. If I would say out of every 10 events that I've called, I'd say maybe two to three times like a rope will break, and that happens more times than not. Sometimes a little more, like maybe 6 out of 7, 10 events, you know, travel issues, you know, stop somebody from coming to an event. So the promoter has to change. And I usually get the cards ahead of time. I get the match card so that I know what's happening when and whatnot. So they're busy shifting. And when it comes to a talent not showing up, then, you know, you have to kind of scramble a little bit, rearrange your thoughts if they're changing the participants in a match from A to B and they're mixing and matching, then you got to change that mindset. But when rings, you know, collapse, fortunately, the way that we handle production is that the stream, we just become entertainers because now I have to recap what's been going on. I have to take the eyes off of the action, although sometimes they keep the camera on the ring showing, hey, you know what, the rope broke. Here's our great crew fixing it. And it's just a matter of ad-libbing. And not only what I do in wrestling, but my entire broadcasting career up to today, everything is ad-lib. I have to be prepared to shift gears, as you just talked about, because I think that's what makes for great commentary. You know, an injury happens in the middle of a match. You've got to be able to swerve around that. And even though you have a match card in front of you, as you talked about, stuff happens, life happens. And being able to know enough about storylines or the performers, or as I said, just being able to talk about anything to let the time go by. I've interviewed other wrestlers or people in the fans to come over to the commentary table, and I've interviewed and chatted with them to kind of keep the show going for those viewing on a stream. So you know what? You got to learn to drop back 7 and punt when you have to. And usually it turns out to be pretty good during the unplanned intermission.
Going back historically through wrestling, a lot of mm-hmm. times at the independent level, promotions would bring in special guest commentators, whether it is a local celebrity or if mm-hmm. it is a wrestler that is going to be involved in something with the people in the match, or if it is the promoter, whoever the case may be, it's someone that's not necessarily a full-time active commentator that may not have that much experience speaking in general. Do you mm-hmm. run into that instance very often where you have sort of an outsider that comes in that you have to lead?
I think when you're doing play-by-play, I think leading is sort of expected. You know, the situations like you described of individuals that I've worked with that maybe have never done commentary, I meet with them early. I just kind of chat them up, have fun. You know, you're going to do color. This is what is expected of you. I'm going to do play-by-play. We find a coach and we get our chemistry together. I've never had anybody that, let's say, has no experience in wrestling or is not some sort of fan of wrestling that you can at least have an intelligent conversation. But at least normally they all know, you know, a collar and elbow from a hip drag to an arm toss. And, you know, you can kind of ad-lib it through. And I just, it's my job with my experience. I mean, I'm a member of the Las Vegas Entertainers Hall of Fame for a reason. Doing this almost 19 years, I take that person under my wing a little bit and talk with them between matches. I try to, you know, pump them up, make suggestions to them and help them, give them some ideas and suggestions that will improve their skills. Not necessarily to make it better at that moment, but things that they could file away in their educational bank as something that they can build on moving forward for other opportunities. If, however, there's a situation, this is rare, where someone comes on commentary with me and they literally just can't handle it, they're nervous, they don't know what to say or do, and I've tried everything I can, I've gone to the promoter and I've told them, look, here's what's happening. I'm going to continue to do the best unless you want to make a change for whatever the reason. And every once in a while, they'll make a change and bring someone else out. But for the most part, you know, I work with the partner that I'm provided, and sometimes I've switched to color because they brought in somebody, like you were suggesting, who perhaps is in a certain area that we're in, and folks may know that person more than me, then I'll switch to color and let that person take lead. So it's just a matter of putting the right team together to provide the best experience for the viewer slash listener that will help the promotion sound 100% over the top and be great for the promotion long term.
Well, at this point, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is with us, and he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things right over to the coach with the most.
So you're tagging out is what you're saying. Hey, what's up, Coach?
I'm tagging Coach.
Hey, brother. Yeah, man. I'm really enjoying your story.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I also wrote a book that tells it, so I can share that with you later, too.
Okay, cool. Okay, one of my basic first questions always is, who was your heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Woo!
From a wrestling standpoint, I grew up in the era of Bob Backlund and then the shift into the Hulk Hogan era and the, you know, Rock and TV and Cyndi Lauper and all of that. So I would have to say Hulk Hogan from that standpoint, you know, the Attitude Era guys, those were the kind of guys I looked up to. My dad really changed over. He took me to my first live event, as I mentioned earlier. And my mom passed away 24 years ago here, and I'm currently reside in Las Vegas. And my dad really became my hero even more so because of how he had to shift over the last almost 24 years and learn to live again and enjoy life. He went out my mom after 38 years of marriage. Music, hell, man, I grew up with Kiss. You know what I'm saying? Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, Paul Stanley, Peter Criss, you know. Big Yankee fan. So, I didn't watch, obviously I was born in the early 60s, so I didn't watch Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, and all the, Lou Gehrig was a little bit earlier, but I grew up in the era of those mid to late 70s, you know, Reggie Jackson, Chris Chambliss, and those great pitchers, Louisiana Lightning, up through now, Derek Jeter, he played the game right, showed everybody that you can do it without getting in trouble with the media and, of course, without any alleged enhancements to help along the way. And my family, my wife and I are married we're over 34 years. I have twin daughters who are 30. They're the ones that keep me going, and they've allowed me to enjoy my career doing what I do as a broadcaster without hesitation, and I'm thankful for them. And so these are all parts of make me who I am and that I make sure that I don't disappoint and let down.
Awesome. And then did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I did. I played your traditional Little League baseball and the 14-year-old baseball. I played high school football. I played senior tennis. When I went to high school, I was built to be a tight end. And then I went to Penn State University and realized I was too small, you know. And I'm like, this ain't going to be for me. I'm at my size, I was too small, and I just stuck to intramural sports and did that, and I coached and I reffed. I'm also a former football referee here in Las Vegas, umpire, line judge, and head linesman. So sports is my life. I love sports, and it's my getaway from life. And, yeah, so that's what I have the knees to prove even to this day that I played football. I was a defensive lineman and long snapper, and, boy, my knees will tell the story.
Okay, sweet. Okay, and then you should know, just being involved in wrestling and being anywhere near a ring, and plus just in general in ordinary life, everyone should have the most self-defense possible. So, with that in mind, what's your self-defense background?
Wow. I took training in boxing. Just so happened that I took a class before I got the Junior Golden Gloves gig, so I knew a cross from an uppercut, a jab, and a cross. My strength, you know, because I've done CrossFit for 6 or 7 years, you know, I've never taken a taekwondos, judos, or anything like that. I'd like to think that I have the sense that I can try to not get involved physically in any way, shape, or form. And thank God to this point in my life at almost 60 years old, I could say I've been successful at that.
Nice. Okay.
But physically, those are my defense mechanisms in terms of my background. Of course, watching wrestling all these years, you know, I can do a body drop. I can do a slam. I can do all that stuff. So,
okay.
It's a kind of a mix.
Right on. Okay. And then let me see, in your career, who's been your favorite people to work with?
Wow. Professionally or otherwise?
Altogether is fine.
Okay. My longtime co-host on a show I did for 7 years, Vegas Unwrapped, was with a dear friend of mine, Ricky Cash. Unfortunately, he passed away 3 years ago. I miss him terribly. A gentleman by the name of Scott Horsey, I'm going to give him a huge plug here in Las Vegas. He owns a memorabilia store called Power Play Sports, and the wrestling show that I do, he was one of the founding guys for that show. But he has brought me in to host his memorabilia shows and conventions and such. I mean, I've met people from Impact Wrestling. I've met people WWE. I just saw The Godfather 2 weeks ago at his event. And I really appreciate what he's done to help put me in the forefront in positions where, A, I can expand my network and just meeting people because, you know, who would have thought you'd ever meet The Godfather in person just to shake hands and say hello to him, as an example.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a Kevin Nash I've met because of him. I mean, I've met some great people. So from a career standpoint, definitely him. And the studios that I worked at, the folks who are my board operators and the owners of the studio, they've been great in accepting the shows and all the different shows that I do like to do. And they've all been part of helping to expand my career. All my current co-hosts that I work with and all the different shows and platforms have all been part of getting me where I am today and how much I've learned from each and every one of them, both the good and the bad. You got to sometimes observe bad things in past experiences to say, that's not what I want to do. That's not the right way to do things to make yourself better. So, but those are the folks that I would probably crown right now that I've enjoyed working the most with.
Very cool. Okay. Now this next question is a two-part question. It is most memorable matches, and that includes any match you've ever seen on VHS, internet, or live. What are the most memorable matches you've seen? And then the second part of that is been involved with.
Wow. Okay. So the scene, I'd have to say from a perspective of longtime fan, I think it was WrestleMania 18 when it was The Rock and Hulk Hogan. And to see that electrifying baton transfer between those two individuals, just like it was years ago when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant,
yeah,
and the baton was passed there. That, you know, that was huge. I mean, I it's hard to pin down one after all the years of fandom, but that's one that stands out. And then locally, I'm going to add this one in there if you don't mind. Locally, the last event I did for Big Valley Wrestling, there was a match between gentleman by the name of Nick Zander and one Chris Bay, who we all know is on TNA, and to have had an opportunity to call his match for me was very exciting. And we know that Chris Bay grew up here in Las Vegas in terms of his wrestling experience and training and growth, and to be able to call a match with a TV icon as he is was tremendous. Now, as far as me being involved, I've got to be honest with you. You know, sometimes the involvement in stories for me as a commentator are, A, quick responsive if something comes to the commentary desk and I react with a wrestler at that time. But okay. I found I got involved more with certain stars when I was doing backstage interviews. And I had this one brewing with a heel in one of the local promos where he was just getting all over me as a commentator or as a backstage interviewer, thinking I was favoring his opponents. And he would get in my face, and I'd get in his face. I'd give, you know, that was probably as close as I would get involved. I really never got involved in any storylines. I always offered to. I always offered and said, hey, you know, if you think, you know, this or that or I can do this would help, then I would always put it out there. But the promotions, I don't know if it's good or bad, never took me up on it to get involved, so in any live matches.
Okay, right on. And then, in your opinion, who are some rising stars out there? And that includes everything, ring announcing,
wow,
referees, trainers, you know, and then, of course, wrestlers.
Wow. To answer that question, I don't want to pick the necessary folks from like NXT or anything like that, because I think too many people know them. And I'm a favorite of underdogs or the lesser known individuals. So for me out here in Vegas, Future Stars of Wrestling has been a huge, huge conduit of performers that go on to the big time. Killer Cross, Karrion Kross for one, Chris Bay, LA Knight. Those guys all came through this local system here at FSW. So, gosh, you know, you look at some of these, there's a tag team here in town called Sky High, Robbie Litt and his partner. I'm blanking at the moment now that you put me on the spot, but they've done some dark matches. They've done some dark matches for AEW and Impact, you know, when they come into town. But those two guys should definitely be looking at the limelight by now. That's a tag team that has had huge success locally and territorially, in terms of California, Arizona, wherever they travel. You know, we don't see, I don't know why, but we don't see have a whole lot of female wrestlers in town. They're a dime a dozen, per se. There are only a few that are really honing their skills. But I'm all about wanting to promote the local talents, the local performers who are trying to get that opportunity. And for me, you know, like I said, the tag team of Sky High is one. Referees, you know, they kind of, I don't want to say they come and go, but some of them are not as consistent because it is an independent show. They have other jobs. They're not always available. It's kind of tough for me to pinpoint that. But the first, yeah, like I said, the first name that comes to mind would be Sky High. Oh, local champ here, Fresco-matic, who's been involved in both Future Stars of Wrestling, Big Valley, and versus Big Valley and FSW. He is a great talent. He also just lost his belt at a recent event. He's another great one that should be on bigger maps at this point. And Duke Lawrence, that's my last shout-out. He's like 6'7", 300 pounds. He moves like a cat in the ring. And as a gentleman that I termed at the beginning of this year, my breakout wrestler for 2024, he's won some championships in some of the promotions around the Southwest area, and so he's really on the rise. Those would be the three folks that I would give you for up-and-comers people need to look at.
Okay, right on. Okay, now this next question is called favorites. One of the top questions on Turnbuckle Turmoil, and I'm sure Sign Guy would love to know, and the fans, what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
Okay, I am not a coffee drinker. At all. Once in college, I needed to stay up for a test, and I needed to cram, and I did instant coffee, and I think that sort of sealed the deal for me on coffee, although I do like aromas of coffee. Wintertime, I'm a hot chocolate guy. Tea is very good for my throat, and other than that, I'm a waterholic. I drink nothing but water for the last 10 years because of some underlying health issues I had, and I had to get off carbonation and sugar and all that sort of stuff. So water's it. I'm not a big drinker. I'll do a beer or two, maybe every couple of months for a special occasion. But for my health right now, fellas, if we did this interview 7 years ago, I would have weighed in at 354 pounds. Today, after having gastric sleeve surgery and getting my health in order, prior to the pandemic, I got down to about 215, and now I'm about 235 right now. I work out at CrossFit 3 times a week. That story is in my book as well. So I'm strictly water, pretty much. I got to keep my body, you know, hydrated with a ton of fluids, and that's pretty much water for me. So I don't know if that's probably pretty boring for your listeners.
No, what a blessing. What a blessing. And to be honest, I had to add if you drink coffee to the question, because I started noticing probably close to 50% of people don't drink coffee anymore. Our last guest on yesterday on my show didn't drink coffee yet, so it's pretty cool.
Well, that's cool. And I guess coffee drinkers love the Starbucks, and I know they're pretty expensive, so I guess in a way it also becomes maybe a financial decision.
Yeah. Okay, now we're excited to hear about your favorite concerts you've been to.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. One concert I wish I had seen would have been Kiss back in the day. I saw back in college Harry Chapin's brother do a concert, and of course he did all Harry Chapin's, you know, Cats in the Cradle, by the way, for your listeners who don't know who that is.
Yeah.
So I saw his brother perform, and of course he did all of his brother's music at the time. And there was one I saw, again, I mentioned I'm originally from New Jersey, and we had a great amphitheater called the Garden State Arts Center, and the gal I was dating at the time, who now is my beloved wife, we saw Billy Vera and the Beaters. Billy, it's been a long time. I know as soon as I hang up with you guys, I'm going to go, oh, that was their name.
Okay.
I've probably seen more wrestling events over the years than I have actually music concerts. I'm really not a big crowd guy over the years as I've gotten older. I don't like New York City. I don't like Times Square. It's just too, especially with all the events of society nowadays. So I really don't do the concert scene. Locally here in Vegas, though, I'll go see many local performers. You know, again, the guys who are not headlining on the strip but want to get that to that level. So I see a lot of local performers, and I've interviewed them on one of my other shows that I do. I interview a lot of the entertainers in town. I'd rather support more of the local artists that are continuing to grow their brand. But let me say this, if someone were to call me up and say, hey, I got a pair of free tickets for you to see Kiss on their farewell tour, trust me, I won't turn it down. But that's how I really like to support. I really like to support the local artists and help them move along in their career, to be quite honest with you.
Absolutely. Okay, and then the last part to the favorites is, in your lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams?
Oh, that's easy to answer, man. I'm from New Jersey. Yankees, Giants, Rangers, Knicks. Beyond that, who cares? Those are the four important teams.
Okay. Okay.
Even being here in Vegas, I have to say I've adopted the Vegas Golden Knights, because when they formed, it was the year of the terrible 1 October event during the country concert out here. They formed. They really supported this city. And I have to throw in the Vegas Golden Knights as well as an adopted hockey team, being out here for almost 30 years.
Okay, cool. Yes, and man, I really, you know, New York Knicks, man, they were great for so many years, and then they've been bad for so many years, and it seemed like the management they had. But man, I got to say, where they're at right now is they're looking pretty decent, you know, and I really like that they got Josh Hart and then the Villanova guys. My goodness.
Well, and here's a little unknown fact, many to most, I would think. James Dolan, who you're referring to as the newer owner, who for years really didn't care about the team or the fans, just ask Charles Oakley and the amount of times they had issues. But there's a new facility that opened up here in Vegas last summer called the Sphere. I don't know if it made news. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but Madison Square Garden 2 is the entity that owns that concert facility, and James Dolan owns that. And before he even opened the door, and U2 is the opening act and paid them $10 million to be here for an opening month or two, he put that place in the red so far that people wonder how he even got to be a business guy. When you look at what he did with the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, and now when you see how red the Sphere is, it's crazy. So James Dolan owns both of them. And it is, by the way, Billy Vera and the Beaters. I looked it up online. So that's the group I saw at Madison Square Garden years ago.
Wow, cool. Okay. And then let's see here. What are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Hustle, because nothing's given in this day and age. The entertainment industry is so tough, whether it's voiceovers, acting, play-by-play, radio, whatever. You got to hustle. You got to not be afraid to put your voice on tape, get it out there. You got to have a personality. You can't be afraid to do stuff on YouTube or do a blog talk radio and do these kind of things. Put yourself in a position to where people will notice you. People have an opportunity to say, hey, did you see that guy that did this? They can also reach out to me because I actually train people to do what I do. So if anybody has any inkling of wanting to get into this business, I do training, and they can message me through my Facebook page, Aaron Phillips, or they can message me through my website, aaronzauer.vegas, and I'd be more than happy to reach out to them and help get them started. And I do everything from terminology in the industry, how to do an interview, and how to even talk to potential advertisers.
Man, that's very cool. I'm going to have to take you up on that. And I'm going to have to get you on my shows. I do my own show Saturdays at noon Pacific.
Maybe we have to simulcast shows then, because one of the shows I do, my Aaron Zauer show with Aaron Phillips, which is an entertainment-style show, I actually do from 12 to 1 Pacific. However, we can figure something out. I'm not averse to rerunning.
My time's not stamped in ink or nothing, you know.
Okay, well, I can bring you as a guest on my show. You can video in on my show because it's live stream in a studio.
They can see you.
You can interview me for your show while I interview you for mine at the same time.
Man, what a blessing. Okay, and then what schools would you like to suggest for people? And that's for any aspect of knowledge.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm an alumni of Penn State, so, you know, we are Penn State is number one. I will say this, though, if anybody listening wants to get into our field and you want to do it the right way and you want to go to a school that is a great communication school, look at Syracuse University. The likes of Bob Costas, Marv Albert graduated from there. Arizona State University is a great school for communications as well. I learned my craft on my own. I was already, you know, I was 41 when I got into this industry. My biggest tool was I recorded every show that I did, whatever my voice was on, and I went back and I critiqued myself after everything that I did because I had to listen to it as a listener would. And so I critiqued myself about stepping on people and asking the right questions, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm self-taught, which is why when I do my seminars, I teach my experience on what I've learned and pass it on. But Penn State, Syracuse, Arizona State, the California schools are great. Again, I'm just focusing on the world of communication and broadcasting. But I look at it this way. Any college, any after high school educational course anyone takes is always to the better for themselves to continue their education. I never profess that I know everything there is in anything that I do or know. I want to learn something new every day. And the day I stop learning, I better be 6 feet underground as the day that I stop learning. So just make the best out of everything that you as an individual choose to do in your higher education or pursuits. You can never let yourself down as long as you continue to learn and follow your passion, because sometimes you'll find your passion has nothing to do with what you went to school for. Just follow your heart and passion.
Absolutely. And then, hey, man, I'm excited to hear what you got coming up. And, of course, we'll have time at the end so you can repeat it. But what do you got coming up?
Well, I have some things happening, of course, every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can listen to Thoughts Count Anywhere. That is my pro wrestling show. However, next Saturday, since it is night one of WrestleMania, We are doing a two-hour show from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. If you're in the Orlando area listening right now, I am doing a golf tournament. I'm hosting a golf tournament in Orlando. You can check it out at celebritygrudgematch.com. That's the website that's hosting this event. I'll be down there in Orlando next Thursday and Friday. Stop by and say hello. You can check out my website, aaronzauer.vegas. My book on Amazon, Let My Voice Speak to You, Tales from a Hall of Fame Broadcaster, where I outline my health transition. I put tidbits in there, podcasting, and some behind-the-microphone scenes when the mics are not on, what goes on. And, of course, every Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m., catch my show, Aaron Zauer with Aaron Phillips, where I bring to you the greatest business people, entertainers, fun people. We have a good time. But none of my shows will talk about politics or religion, so it's a safe zone to listen to anything that Aaron Phillips is on.
Awesome. And then how do people get a hold of you?
The best way is, well, there's no best way. They're all great ways. You can check me out on Facebook, Aaron Phillips. You can, all my shows have a Facebook page. Aaron Zauer Show is the Facebook page for my show, Thoughts Count Anywhere Show on Facebook. ThoughtsCountAnywhere.com, which, by the way, if you want to buy your WWE stuff, you can go onto ThoughtsCountAnywhere.com, click the Affiliates tab. And you can actually go to the WWE shop through our website. Same for Fanatics. Same for Amazon. We are an affiliate, so support our show because that will also help keep the show on the air. What don't I have going on? Every week I'm doing four shows a week. Just check my stuff out on Facebook, and I'd love to hear from your fans, man. I'd love to get some feedback on what they thought about this time with me, with you guys. I don't answer questions usually, so this is – I'm usually in your seat. I'm usually asking the questions, so this is a unique opportunity for me to answer some of the questions, so I appreciate it.
Sweet. Man, I really enjoy your story, and I'm going to continue to look into what you got going, and can't wait to have you on and all that stuff. But I'm sure, let me give you back to the guy who's so fly, he's going to take you sky high, the Mr. Sign Guy.
Right on.
Thank you, Coach. Well, Aaron, you mentioned working for Versus. When I officiated at a Versus show last year, there was a street fight, and one of the participants had blood squirting out of his head 2 to 3 feet during the course of it. Blood has become sort of a controversial issue within the world of professional wrestling. Where do you stand when it comes to seeing blood in pro wrestling in 2024?
You know what? That's a wonderful question, and we actually debate that an awful lot on Thoughts Count Anywhere. I am not a big fan for how often it is being used now. John Moxley seems to bleed when he seizes too hard on AEW, and Adam Page when he went against him not too long ago. The WWE has kind of had toned it back for a long time until this past Monday night on Raw, and I don't want to spoil any surprises for anybody who perhaps, you know, hasn't seen what happened between The Rock and Cody. I think it's overdone. I think blood should be a shock and awe moment that should be a surprise when it happens, when somebody is, dons the crimson mask. So I would like to see it cut back a lot. You know, in a cage match, okay, you know, in that type of environment, you expect blood to spill. But overall, even on regular TV, I think it's too much. I think it needs to be cut back. I think it's being overdone. But then again, there are a lot of people that love that kind of stuff, and that's what they want to see. And, you know, they go to a hockey game not to see the game. They want to go see the fight and people spill blood. But in the world of pro wrestling, I think it's being overdone and should be curtailed to the right moments in matches, and matches that mean something, to where blood is being used to help further a story.
Another one of the more controversial things that has happened in our industry the last few months is, of course, the Vince McMahon scandal. It looks like federal investigators are checking out what actually took place. WWE is doing record business at the moment. They've had the huge television rights deals go through. TKO purchased the company for billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But as this thing looms on, and it will continue to be in the news as things progress, do you see this affecting the wrestling industry as a whole going down to the independent level, or do you think it will strictly affect what's going on within WWE, or do you think it will have no real lasting effect business-wise?
Strange way, I'm going to say yes to them all, because I think primarily the biggest shadow it's going to cast on is WWE, of course. However, that being said, from the product of what we see on TV, I think we'd all agree exponentially has gotten so much better since Vince and Kenny McMahon is no longer involved. I mean, Triple H has done a tremendous job in the storytelling. I think Raw this past Monday, my co-host and I yesterday all agreed was probably the best Raw in literally quite some time in the storytelling. SmackDown has always been good. Shawn Michaels and NXT. I think from a product standpoint, you can separate yourself successfully from McMahon and his hands in everything, okay? Would the deal have gone through with TKO and now this endeavor if they knew everything that there was to know about McMahon more recently on top of what they had already known before? Maybe, because TKO is all about making money. And they came forward to want to do business with the number one wrestling promotion in the world. Is it a shadow on all the other promotions? Can it cast a shadow? Behind the scenes, I think so, because I think internally companies are going to be more aware of what can possibly be going on behind the scenes in upper management and things like that. I don't think companies will go anywhere near storylines like that anymore, like they used to in the Attitude Era, which is where I think all of this stuff with McMahon started, allegedly, I should say, when you hear some of the stories of those who wrestled during that era. McMahon sold more stock this past week out of TKO. And I think for him, he's trying to strike while the iron's hot to make as much money on his stock. It's sad for wrestling from a historical perspective that there is not a McMahon somewhere involved in wrestling that we know of. I think WWE would love to see Stephanie McMahon come back in the fold to the company. Linda's been a non-factor for many years. Shane's name kind of started coming around to maybe make an appearance at WrestleMania like he normally does, but I'd be surprised if he does make an appearance next week of any kind. So from a historical perspective, it is a shame that a McMahon name is no longer involved in pro wrestling after, 50, 60 years going back to his father and the territory days. So I think it's a mixed bag of what McMahon's story is and will continue to be over the course of time. I just don't want to see any current performers get caught up in that and be named in ongoing stuff like Lesnar's name came out with this last investigation and whatnot. And it looks like, though, that they're trying to maybe bring him back in to the fold a little bit, as what I've heard. So I think it's a mixed bag all the way around. There's no clear-cut answer, but I think it will affect things at many different levels across the board in pro wrestling. And that's a long-winded answer, and I apologize.
As I said, we've seen billion-dollar television rights deals happen in the last few months, and right now pro wrestling at the national level probably has the most exposure it has had in decades, if not ever. WWE on Fox and USA, soon to be Netflix. You have AEW on TNT and CBS. WOW Women of Wrestling has the CBS and CW affiliates. TNA is on Access TV, so there's a lot at the national level that you can watch. You can pretty much 7 days a week watch wrestling on national television if you want. Do you think that the business is overexposuring itself on national TV, or do you think that this is the right amount of exposure, or do you think that there's room for more.
I come from an old school philosophy sometimes, and as much as I love today's wrestling, and there was something special when back in the day, Madison Square Garden held a pay-per-view once a quarter, and Howard Finkel would get on the microphone and start announcing the card for the next Madison Square Garden show in a month or two or three. There was something special about it. So to answer your question, truthfully, I think, and we've talked about this on my show as well, and I'm so glad you asked this, I think it's becoming in a way too diluted with so much. Now, I say that because I want to see TNA get a much better contract than Access, because not everybody has Access. Yeah, they do stuff on YouTube. Everybody does. I would like to see them get a better TV contract so that they can get better recognition across the board. 3 hours of Raw is too much. I was not a supporter of it going to 3 hours when they did it. I've been screaming for many, many years it should be nothing more than a two-hour show like SmackDown, which is why I believe SmackDown was such a superior show to Raw for so long, because it was only 2 hours, and you had to tell your story, you know, quicker and better and sharper, and it wasn't as much fluff around it. The fact that it's going to networks that not everybody has access to does worry me to a certain extent, because a lot of people, they've gotten rid of their cable, they've gotten rid of their satellite, they're not doing all these streaming services, and using a Netflix or a Peacock and all of that could become a detriment in the long haul. But until the numbers start showing that, I don't think we'll see a change in these multi-gazillion dollar deals that all of these promotions are getting. Look, let's face it, WWE, and they've said it in all their quarterly reports, they make a boku dollars in their merchandising. And I think that's really where they make more money than the actual pay-per-views and the actual monthlies and the road shows and all of that. They get their most of their money from merchandising. So do all the shows help that? Absolutely. But at the same token, in terms of eyeballs, you got wrestling almost, well, pretty much 7 days a week, pretty much. And I don't even have that time to watch all that much wrestling. And that's why I end up going to highlights and reading the reports of what happened during the show, because I just can't watch all those hours of pro wrestling. So I'd like to see it not go any further, but I do think in a way it's become very diluted.
Well, we are down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, if you want to plug absolutely anything from social media to the book to your favorite dry cleaner, anything at all, floor is yours.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm just going to repeat what I said earlier. First of all, I want to thank you guys both for having me on as a guest. This is a blast. And I want to open up the invite. You guys come on to my stuff anytime. So check me out, aaronshour.vegas. That is the best connect for me on all my shows. There's affiliate tabs. I have swag up there. Check that out. Go on to Amazon. Let My Voice Speak to You, Tales from a Hall of Fame Broadcaster. It talks about my health transition. I also drop stuff about how to do what I do and what you guys do, as well as some during commercial break stories that should never air, and never will air live. Thoughts Count Anywhere, every Saturday from normally 10 to 11, unless there's a pay-per-view. Then we're on from 2 hours. That is from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. You can check it out on Facebook. Also, all of the shows, my network is www.dbtv.com on their website, but they also have a channel on Roku. So I want to invite all your listeners to download Roku and check out all the shows, the plethora of shows that they have to offer there. And check me out on Facebook. Aaron Zauer is my name. You can check that out, Aaron Zauer Show on Facebook. And quite frankly, now that I'm connected with both of you, to your fans, if you forget how to get in touch with me, reach out to your two hosts here, and they know how to reach out to me. And I would love to get some people who are interested in my podcast training course. So there you have it. That's everything I got that's good to print or speak of.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Aaron, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. We 100% enjoyed having you here. I will pick up the book and read that very, very, very soon. And best of luck. Hopefully our paths will cross at some point.
Well, I look forward to it, and reach out to me about a book, because then I can personally autograph it and send it out to you. If you order it online, you're not going to get an autographed copy. So reach out to me through Facebook, and I'll send you an autographed copy.
Sounds like a great deal. All right, Coach, I'm sure you got some stuff to plug as we wrap this up nice and neat.
Yeah, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones at Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of celebrity interviews from all over the world. Then, of course, every Saturday noon Pacific, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast that I'm blessed to have Sangha on with me probably more than 50% of the time. Next week, I got Rudy Boy Gonzalez. Excited to hear his story. And once I get the ink dried on the rest of the dates, I'll let you guys know. Also, I'm blessed to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil every Sunday at 1 Pacific. And I want to thank you guys so much. We appreciate all your feedback, your hope, and love and support you send us. Thank you so much.
All right, and fans, you can join us right back here next Friday afternoon. We have Christian Wild with us out of the Pacific Northwest. And then 1 week from this very day, we have Wrestlers That Cook Day, wrestlers that also are chefs. We have a few of those on the panel confirmed, so we're going to learn about a couple of different skill sets and see how they might coexist. So that's going to be a fun time. You can also find me next Saturday in Ocean Shores, Washington at Rogue Wrestling Attractions. 13th, I will be back in Vaughan, Washington for Northwest Pro. And the 21st, I will be in the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana for Paul Cade 5. Sure you have plans to join us. We will talk to everyone very soon. Stay safe out there and get out there and support your local independent professional wrestling.
Go Purdue!